Weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Cambridge 105.
One of the highlights of the big weekend on Friday night was a performance by Dario G, best known for the hit Sunshine. And after he came off stage on Parker's piece, we had a little chat.
Well, Dario, thank you for speaking to Cambridge 105. You're fresh from the stage.
Yes.
Just a few moments ago. How was it?
It was great. Always that sensation going on before of anticipation, how it's going to go. You know, a bit of professional nerves is always good, you know, because you're looking at the crowd and thinking what type of age group they are, what kind of intoxication state they're in, whether it's like an afternoon gig or whether it's it's a 2 a.m.
This is Cambridge, you must be as safe as it's going to be here.
That was it, you know, it was whether, you know, the easier crowds to entertain are the ones that are more willing to party, shall we say.
Yeah.
They've had a couple of glasses of something herbal or something before they've come on, but yeah, it was great, it was fantastic, and that's what I kind of wanted to play tonight. That's kind of what I do. DJing's only part of my career, because
you mentioned the nerves. You've been a performer for well over 20-25 years. Have the nerves changed, or be precise, the type of nerves that you get? Do you feel different when you get up on stage now to what you might have done in the 90s, for example?
I think the biggest fear I have is technical hitch. You know, that's always the biggest fear, that you think, you know, something, with the computers, if the computers go down or if the sound system goes down. I think twice in my career I've had technical hitches. Once was in New York and once was in, I think it was Durham University, where the PA, the whole place, because it was like a garden party and the whole power went up. So I just stood at the front of the stage and sang Carnival and everyone, it was fine. You know, there's ways through it, and that's the kind of professional approach that, if you think, I can't save this, everyone's, you know, the power's gone off. So that's the biggest fear I have, really. If that was away, if that kind of technical hitch fear was away, I would enjoy it and be a lot less nervous.
And you mentioned the technology. When we met backstage just a few moments ago, first thing I noticed was an Apple charger, and then, of course, the Apple laptop that you have. The technology that you perform with, you can probably carry it around yourself these days.
Well,
very nearly.
I do. Things have moved on from the 90s, when obviously it was vinyls and Technics 1210s and going through the CDJs of the early noughties onto MP3s and laptops. There are purist DJs who want you to go on stage and start scratching and doing all sorts of like old school things. For me, my job isn't just DJing, and my ears are precious. So one of the main reasons I use a laptop to save on the beat matching, which most purist DJs will, you know, I can beat match, but it is tiring on the ears. So I want to be able to go back into the studio in the week and have my ears that haven't been mashed to bits, and be able to use my ears for writing music and creating new music rather than having tinnitus all week.
Yes, and that's important. It's interesting that one of the sponsors of this event is actually a hearing healthcare centre, so they will no doubt
be very pleased.
Well, absolutely. I maintain that at Cambridge 105, half the presenters are deaf and the others soon will be as a consequence of the first half. Dangerous when you pick up the headphones when
that was that's one of the big things, that kind of turn it louder to make it better, you know, to try and find those beats, mixing beats. So yeah, the beat matching is actually helpful in that way, but it's also helpful in the fact that you can program your set, you can choose how to mix them, you can choose the keys better and things like that. You know, you can match one record up to the other record. I'm not going to tell you all my secrets, though.
No. But I guess initially, when Dario G was your first around, it would have been decks, it would have been synthesizers.
Yeah. Yep.
Because at one point you were threesome, is that?
Yes, right? Yes. Yeah. That originally, yeah. We didn't do a lot of shows initially because the other two guys were fairly shy. Well, very shy. So yeah, over the time, yeah, it went solo after three. Went to a duo after 2 years, and then down to a solo after 4 years or something. I can't remember the time. Yeah, but I enjoy performing. I enjoy playing. You know, my dream is to play more live. But obviously, with digital music, you know, I'm diploma level piano player. I used to teach piano, so you know, I've on the track Ring of Fire, I played the trumpet on that. I play all the parts on the music myself, which isn't normal for a DJ.
So how many instruments do you play?
Oh, it's just the two, the keyboard and the trumpet. Okay. I'm a pretty poor trumpet player, but on the music that I write, it's quite good to have that kind of Mexican raucous sound. That brass band age 12 sound is my speciality.
You kind of know.
Yes, I'm a master of that. If you want a nice silky jazz solo, I'm not the one to do that.
So your route in, well, you know, do you do music as a kid, as a performing the piano? I don't know if you got into grade level or.
Yeah, I got to grade 8 when I was 15. As I say, I did my diploma just after that. But then I found that I wasn't really into that side of the music. I could have come to university and done some kind of music degree or something like that, and then pursued my hobbies on the side. But I went to Salford University, which did the only pop music course there at the time, which, you know, that was my introduction to synthesizers and sequencers. And it was actually a real awakening for me that as a keyboard player, you didn't need to be in a band. The band was inside the computer, and that meant you didn't need to rely on an unreliable drummer or a crazy guitarist or an egotistical singer. You could basically just bring them in whenever you wanted them and be in control of the whole situation.
The song you're most famous for and people would be most familiar with would be Sunshine.
Yep.
And it's strange in a roundabout way, because life in a northern town, I kind of associate with cold, rainless, and you completely turned it upside down with the remix, and Forevermore associates you and the song with summer, the kind of scene that we're seeing on Parker's Piece here today.
Yeah, it's just that section. It was just a good piece of music, a great piece of music, well recorded, well sung, a great spirit, and it was a cappella in the middle of the track. So try and do something with it. You know, I'd already got musical ideas. Let's put that into the musical ideas. The piano, the steel drum. You know, even in 2016, this genre that's been around now for 2 years, tropical house. You know, maybe Sunshine was one of the first tropical house pieces of music.